broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. I'm telling you right now, this is indeed the broadcast. It's Monday, May 7th in the year of our Lord, 2018. Hour one of two. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great restoration solutions we have. We reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration. Welcome to the broadcast. I took off last Saturday, had to do it for my 26th wedding anniversary, so that's kind of neat news. Enjoyed myself. Thanks for the weekend off. We are live normally, though, 6 days a week. Friday's broadcast recaps now. We talked about pirate radio stations explode on YouTube, which I don't really know what that means. Pirate radio stations are, it's illegal to broadcast in the terrestrial world, but now they're kind of redefining what a pirate radio station is. That means you don't have permission to air what you're airing. Well, since we create our own content, and since we don't use music licensed by the media mafia or the music mafia, our broadcasts are not pirate. Did you know that? Just thought I'd make sure y'all knew. Spotify's first report. As a public company flops on Wall Street, so Spotify's melting down. Are they pirate? Just wondering. They can't make a profit. They're struggling big time. Man robs same bank. I guess the day after release from prison. I don't know if he just liked the three squares a day and wanted to go back or what the cause of that all is. Strange stuff, though, that's for sure. Brinks truck drops thousands of dollars on Indiana Highway. You better give that fake government fake money back. You're the one stealing if you take it. The government didn't steal to create it in the first place or anything. Now, they don't like competitions. So don't be stealing the money spilled on the highway there, folks. U.S. judge rules that Iran must pay $6 billion to 9/11 victims. I don't really understand this at all. How does a U.S. court, a U.S. judge, rule that Iran pay anything? I mean, do they have international jurisdiction or what? Very strange stuff. A big gulp, ladies and gentlemen. You know what, like you get at 7-Eleven? Of kale juice. Yeah, 7-Eleven struggles to catch fresh food wave. Well, no wonder. I mean, you think you ought to be selling big gulps full of kale? Is that going to help you catch up? I think not. Gold ends what they call a two-month low as U.S. dollar and treasury yields rise as head of the Fed decision. That was last week, by the way. Just so you know, I don't think the gold and silver are down. I don't think they end a two-month low. The dollar is what manipulates and goes up and down and all around. It's fake money. Constitutional currency, gold and silver, remains relatively the same. They like to tell you that gold goes up and down because they want you to believe it's a commodity, not really money. Amazon fires back at Seattle's proposed head tax. Wow. And they're pausing construction projects over the fiasco. What do you expect from all these liberal towns, Amazon? You get a bunch of liberals in the mix, a bunch of melted down cities due to liberal policies for decades, and you're surprised when it goes all wrong. They love taxes. They love everything Communist Manifesto. They reject everything constitutionally. You got to move to some of the smaller towns, the hamlets across America, the inner sanctum, if you will, or flyover country, as some call it. That's where you got to go, Amazon. But the problem is you're as liberal as the cities that you're rejecting now, huh? All right, that was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live on Friday. Hour 2, we had our guest on, Mr. Richard Mack, thefreedomcoalition.com and CSPOA.org. We talked about a news analysis. President loses grip on his own story, writes the New York Times. Giuliani might have Trump in legal hot water, writes USA Today. They're all trying to attack the president. But while they're all attacking the Donald on everything, Trump celebrates National Day of Prayer in the Rose Garden. It was a delightful event, prayers from all different groups of people, and then Donald spoke. It was tremendous. Trump also signs faith-based initiative. giving religious voices more influence in government. Wow. There's prayer on a regular basis in this White House, says Mike Pence. He reveals faith behind the scenes. That's great news. And by the way, Sister Bingham of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints had the opportunity to pray at the White House as well, and she prayed for a land of good Samaritans. You gotta dig that. Hawaii lawmakers passed a bill banning sunscreens with chemicals that can harm the coral reefs. So don't worry about the humans that slap that stuff on. Just worry about the coral reefs. You know what I'm talking about? Police use stun gun on man attempting to have sex with a car. Strange stuff everywhere, I'll tell you what. Nearly 40 shot over 3 days in gun-controlled Chicago. Maybe gun control ain't working, folks. Maybe there's a better idea, huh? I guess Kim Kardashian is now lobbying Jared Kushner for Trump to pardon a great-grandmother. I guess she's serving life in prison, this grandmother. And I guess Kim Kardashian, they call her the, TV star or whatever. She's got a personal lawyer working on the case. So we do know folks are trying to get pardoned by the Donald. We just wish that Donald would consider the innocent in prison and truly focus on people who really need it. But somehow everybody can get to the Donald but us. The kid that wants to mow the White House lawn, he can get to the Donald. The couple that wants to bake cookies with Melania, they can get to the Donald. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, they can get to the Donald. But you and I guess just left out in the cold, huh? All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Friday. Available at libertyroundtable.com. Tell all your friends, spread the word. Without further ado, our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, back on the radio with us. RonPaulInstitute.org as well. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. It is good to be with you.
All right. I guess Ron Paul's got a column about baby Alfie. Catch people up on this story, Lowell.
Well, I sure will, Sam. Did you cover Alfie Evans' story last week?
We haven't. No, sir.
Awesome. Well, this young man, 23-month-year-old Alfie Evans, died in hospital 2 Fridays ago. Not this last Friday, but the Friday before. And the Monday before that, he was taken off life support. And against the wishes of his parents, he was basically locked up and kept in the hospital in the UK. Now, going back, he was 2 months old. He took the vaccinations, that 8 or 9 vaccinations, and immediately after began exhibiting the signs of vaccine damage, and it was basically neurological damage that began to occur. His parents nonetheless continued to follow the vaccination schedule, and over time he became so bad neurologically with seizures and so forth that he was hospitalized in the hospital there in Liverpool, the Alder Hayes Hospital in Liverpool. Now, he continued to deteriorate. The doctors said they really didn't know what was wrong, but they said there can be done nothing for him. They said, we can't do anything for him. We're sorry, but you can't take him out of here to try any other alternative methods or other alternative hospitals. Now, during this time, the parents were working feverishly to regain custody of their son. They even went to Italy and got permission from the hospital in Italy who offered to treat Alfie Evans. And and the parents also went to the courts in the UK and fought to regain custody of their own child. And the high courts they said. Said no way. Basically, you're not in charge here, and so they wouldn't let they wouldn't even let him out. They said it was not in Alfie's best interest to be discharged from the hospital there at Alder Hayes. And yet on Monday, they removed him from life support, and basically he starved to death, finally expiring on Friday. Parents couldn't get out. Get him out. The courts wouldn't let him get him out. They had a cordon of police outside the hospital that week as protesters came and tried to persuade the hospital to let him go. There was a hospital waiting 2 hours away in Italy that would have treated him. No guarantee, of course, but the UK High Court said it is in Alfie's best interest not to leave the country, end of quote. And so it's a horrible situation, Sam. Horrible situation for at least a couple of reasons. First, they're denying Alfie of the right not to be killed, right? The right to life. My question is, since when does a hospital have the right to deny a patient's exit from their care? Well, I first stumbled into this situation when our youngest daughter had what they called a febrile seizure just as a little baby, and we took her over to the hospital, and the doctor said, oh, yeah, you know, this is fairly common among infants, and so we said thank you very much, and we prepared to leave the hospital, and the doctor said to me, oh, you're not thinking of going home with your baby tonight, are you? And I said, well, sure are. I mean, she's going to sleep a lot better in home where she feels comfortable. And the doctor says, well, I need you to sign a waiver. I need you to sign a piece of paper here saying that you're taking charge of your child. And I thought, my goodness, this is really bizarre. Of course I'm going to take responsibility for my child.
And there's a sad tale about that. We'll talk about that and more and exactly what happened in the Alfie case. Ron Paul wrote an epic column about it, highlighting the principle of liberty they're related to. Lowell Nelson breaks it down in just seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this'll work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. You know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about the Alfie Evans story, ladies and gentlemen. A tragic situation in the UK where a little teeny baby gets vaccinated. It all goes wrong. They say they're safe and effective. In this case, not safe or effective. And nevertheless, the bottom line is parents realized their baby was just going to die, so they tried to take their baby elsewhere to get treatment, and the government said no. The courts and the hospitals got in bed together and said this is not in the best interest of the child to leave the country and go to Italy for medical treatment, and they just literally took the baby off life support, starved the baby to death, and killed it. Pro-death agenda backed by government on display. We're talking about hospitals do this. Since when did hospitals get authority over kids? Lowell found that out with his youngest daughter. You were saying, Lowell?
Yes, and so as we left the hospital with our baby, that it was early evening, 6 or 7 p.m., we signed a document saying that I, the father in this case, take responsibility for the care of my daughter. Of course, see, I thought that all along. I didn't know I had to sign a piece of paper in order to declare that. Well, turns out that was a Friday evening. Monday morning, I got a call from the Department of Child and Family Services here in the state of Utah, and they interviewed me over the phone and took about 20 minutes with me, Sam. They just asked question after question, and I had, you know, as I was so angry at them for supposing that I was unfit to care for my child, or somehow unfit as a father to have responsibility for my child, but I knew that I couldn't say anything or didn't dare hint that I was nothing other than just a loving, you know, father. I didn't let on that I was angry with the hospital and the government for snooping on me the way they were doing. But basically, and I had the distinct impression that if I had, you know, lashed out and expressed my anger, then they probably would have come and taken our baby away from us by police force. And so the good news is that I listened to the impression of my heart that morning as I talked to the officer from DCFS and basically persuaded, I convinced them that I was indeed a responsible father, responsible dad, married to a lovely woman. We were both taking responsibility for our child, and that the child was safe in our care. And that was my first and only brush with the DCFS here in the state of Utah, but it was a sobering brush with state authority. And I can only imagine how the parents of Alfie Elvin felt when they could not take their child home with them. They could not unhook it from the machines. They could not take it out of the hospital. They could barely get in and out of the hospital themselves because the police were so thick there at the Alder Mays Hospital in Liverpool.
And so this happens in the United States. This happens in the UK. This happens literally all over the world. There was a big case several years ago. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think it was out of Kansas where a girl had kind of the same problem, and it was publicized big time. Kurt, you've had personal experience with this as well, right?
That's exactly right, Sam. And you know, it's just this.
We gotta get Kurt a little more excited, though.
Big Daddy, federal and state governments. That it's all for the children, you know. And what happens so many times is they just get out of control.
Well, power corrupts, absolutely, Lowell, and that's at the heart of this. These people want to exercise their control, don't they?
Well, they certainly do, Sam, and here in the state of Utah, and probably in every state here in the U.S., the Department of Child and Family Services, they get a monetary reward, basically, for every child that they can separate from the parents and put into foster care. Not billed that way, of course, but effectively, it's that way. I mean, every child that they take and put in foster care, there's federal money that is given to the state to, you know, to support that action. And so it becomes an incentive. And so it's a perverse incentive. And I don't want to, you know, take all day on this, but what I'm telling you is that this incentive exists, and parents have to be absolutely aware that, you know, that these things can happen, and they're far better off never to go to the hospital in the first place. To take responsibility for their children and for their own health, I think that's a far better alternative than to rely on the medical community to provide care, you know, for their children, because you run the risk of losing control of your children if you take them to a hospital, check them into a hospital, and maybe in the fine print somewhere on those forms you sign, maybe it says you give.
Oh, it absolutely does, sir. I'll explain that in a minute. Kurt, what happened to you then? Did you take your kid home, or what happened? Were you forced to stay? What?
No, we went home. You know, and they had to make sure and look to see, you know, did you have them in the right child restraint things? You know, did you have, you know, all these little things that are, well, they tell you it's for the good of, you know, your child or whatever, and yet what's really happened is the government has become way too much of a nanny, way too much of a control kind of thing. Instead of your servants, they're your masters.
And I agree with both of your points. The same similar scenarios happened to me, which is very uncomfortable situation in the hospital's defense a little bit. So I think government's out of control. I think the hospitals are as forced or as powerless or as frustrated oftentimes as we the people. And I have talked to a couple of doctors and nurses and things like this about it. Their reasons for being so belligerent at the hospital is that what happens is they get sued by all kinds of parents. If they let your child go low without a signature, without this or that, if anything goes wrong, then, hey, people blame it on the hospital. You shouldn't have let me leave without, you know, letting me know the gravity of the situation or whatever. And so sadly, because of the actions of the few, the many suffer. Hospitals are just trying to say we cannot have a lawsuit against us for negligence or for irresponsibility on our part. And this is our way of, you know, the attorneys kind of lawyer up and say this is our way to make sure that we're not caught in the snare kind of a thing. And so the hospitals are really, in many cases, victims just like we are. It's government out of control. It's the courts. It's irresponsible parents. All in a mix creates this fiasco, Lowell.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. They're doing it because we live in a litigious society. You know, the Parker Jensen case comes to mind, too. That, you know, for our listeners around the country who may not be familiar with the Parker Jensen case, Parker was the name of a young man who, according to a hospital here in Utah, was diagnosed with sarcoma disease or syndrome, and was basically told, you know, he had like a week or two to live, and the parents wanted a second opinion. They wanted to go to a hospital in Houston and get a second opinion, and the AG's office here in Utah called and talked to that hospital in Houston and commanded them not to provide any services for the boy's family, because, you know, we had already done the diagnosis here. Parker's family, they went on a vacation that very week because they wanted to, you know, if he's truly going to die, then they wanted to spend time with him. And, of course, turned into a police manhunt, basically, for Parker's parents, basically, were accused of kidnapping Parker and, you know, taking him from the state. And, I mean, it was a very serious situation. If you want to hear the full story on Parker Jensen, just Google, you know, Parker Jensen. And then basically there's an interview that Kristen Chevrier did with Darren, you know, Parker Jensen's dad, just a few weeks ago. And so if you just Google those two names, Kristen Chevrier and Parker Jensen, it'll come up with this story. It just truly makes you angry because of the role the government takes. They try to step in and assume a parental role. And yes, they say they're doing it, you know, for the child, in the name of the child, to protect the child. And maybe in some cases that's really a blessing for the child. But as we see here in the Alfie Evans case, it turned out to be a death warrant for the child.
Tragic but true. Cassandra C., a girl out of Connecticut, was forced to stay in the hospital and forced to take chemotherapy treatments before she could be released. They forced her to stay until she took the last of them. The parents went to court to try to get her out of there. No luck either. And so this is a serious, serious issue. And I only speak up about the hospitals a little bit to say they're kind of victims, too, when the courts or when the policies or when lawyers and different things and people get involved. You know, hey, the doctor's just going, wait a minute, I just work here, you know. And the problem is everybody feels powerless to do anything about it. Ron Paul's column, just to kind of finish the circle on this, really highlights this. Ron Paul's column, Baby Alfie, the latest victim of an omnipotent government. And the bottom line on this story is this. Remember, if we have the authority, then we can delegate that authority to government. But if we don't have the authority, we shouldn't be delegating anything. Where did they get this authority is the question. And nobody can ask that, or else they'll be in harm's way is the problem. We'll finish on that and a lot more in seconds. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Lowell Nelson brings up some incredible topics, and the problem is I want to just talk about them and personal experiences related to them, and the comments are just incredible, and the columns that we're talking about are just so in-depth. It's just, man, I don't even know how to respond to it except to say, what great talk radio. We can never do everything justice like we'd like to. But if you go to campaignforliberty.org or ronpaulinstitute.org, you can learn about this incredible Ron Paul column, Baby Alfie, the Latest Victim of Omnipotent Government. And the bottom line is, if you have the authority to delegate to government, you can. But if you don't have that authority, you can't in the first place. And that's really critical to understand in America. Anyway, incredible column. Check it out. There's just too much to cover is the problem. By the way, did you celebrate Cinco de Mayo, Kurt?
You know, I guess I did. I mean, I woke up and said good morning and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, I think I had some salsa that day. So I guess is that
celebration. Kurt Crosby celebrating Karl Marx's birthday with salsa. How about you, Cher? Lowell?
Hey, I can speak up in behalf of the salsa that Kurt's family makes. It is totally awesome. Also, they gave me some the other night when I was over there visiting, and man alive, it is so great, the salsa. I, you know, just eating their salsa is a celebration of Cinco de Mayo, regardless of what day of the year it is. Thanks again, Kurt.
Yeah, you got that right. By the way, if you've ever had their cheese ball, too, it's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I mean, can't even celebrate Christmas until that dude comes. I'm just saying.
But, yeah, Cinco de Mayo, it's a fun holiday, you know. We've sort of embraced that as a family because, you know, we often go down to Mexico And we love authentic Mexican food. And I think a lot of people do. I think Mexican food is pretty awesome. But Cinco de Mayo, in fact, one time our family even went down to San Diego for the Cinco de Mayo weekend. And it was just on a lark. We drove down on a Friday, came back on a Sunday night or something, toured the San Diego Temple grounds. We visited the Mormon Battalion Historic Site. We mingled with thousands and thousands of people in the Old Town part of San Diego. And it was truly, you know, this is several years ago, but talk about a ton of fun. It was memorable. And so I have a warm spot in my heart for Cinco de Mayo ever since. And then this week I read this column, there at ronpaulinstitute.org. And it turns out, Sam, we have a reason not to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, and that is that May 5th is the day that Karl Marx was born, Sam. Karl Marx, the author of the Marxist Manifesto, the Communist Manifesto, right? There's people all over the world commemorating this birth, Cinco de Mayo, in honor of Karl Marx. Can you believe that?
It's shocking, and I agree with you guys, though, that I won't let them take away these days from me. Now, Karl Marx is the negative piece of that day, but I choose to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. By the way, it's not Mexican Independence Day like people think. That's bogus. There's a greater historical context for it, right?
That's right, Sam. It really is a celebration of the Mexican victory over the French at the Battle of Puebla on May 5th, 1862. So while we were engaged in civil war here, a war between the states, or the War of Northern Aggression, I like to call it, here in the U.S., Mexico was battling France. And so that was just a celebration of their victory. The Mexican military forces were victorious over the French forces there in the Battle of Puebla.
But the French win in the end because there's French fries all over Mexico. Just saying.
That's right.
Very interesting. It is an interesting holiday. I celebrate it because it's my brother's birthday, by the way.
Ah.
So, a little different focus. But I love Mexican food, and I love the celebrations. And, we oftentimes look for any excuse we can to kind of celebrate. And as long as we celebrate in a moral way, I think it's a good thing to be appreciative of history and to celebrate many cultures, not just our own. I'm grateful for my European-American heritage. I'm grateful that I'm a white person, and I'm grateful of my people and my heritage. But I'm also grateful for other people and their heritages and their cultures, and I like to learn about them and celebrate them. And, if I say that I'm a white guy and I want to celebrate my heritage, they want to tell you I'm a racist, but it's a lie. I want to be grateful for everybody's heritage and celebrate everybody's roots. And I want to minimize the bad parts in everybody's heritage. And I want to focus on the great parts of everybody's heritage, and I want everybody to come together and enjoy each other and learn about each other and celebrate together and especially celebrate the blessing that America has brought to all of us, Lowell. That would be my take.
Well, absolutely, and I love the fact that we try to, when the church has a big ceremony for, like, a new temple is built in a foreign land, they have what they call a cultural celebration. And I think it's a fantastic way because regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your country, your heritage, whatever, we want you to celebrate that and take pride in who you are, where your roots grow, and so forth, because that's an important part of who you are.
After all, that's how God made you, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and we also, by the way, a lot of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints temples that Lowell is referring to, they are patterned after the area in which they're built, too. And so they take a lot of that cultural heritage and a lot of the style of architecture. And the list goes on and on and on. Details from the surrounding countryside or whatever. And they build those uniqueness, is that a word? Anyway, they build the uniqueness of the given culture, of the heritage, of the history, of the area into the buildings. It's just tremendous to see. I've learned so much from the different buildings about a given area, all brought into this kind of great whole and celebration of God, family, and country, whatever country it is. But it's fascinating how that's done also.
Absolutely. So James Bovard at the ronpaulinstitute.org posted this column yesterday or the day before. And I guess it was yesterday he posted this column talking about Marx, talking about the fact that people all over the world are celebrating Marxism and basically saying, you know, you're really right. You were right, Marx. Everything you said was right. And but it turns out, Sam, that Marxism in practice really didn't work out so well. Communist regimes have produced the greatest ideological carnage in human history, killing more than 100 million people just in the last century, Sam. And while there are some apologists who claim it's unfair to Marx to blame him for these murders, the seeds of tyranny were there from the very start. For example, Marx relied a great deal on the German philosopher Hegel, who deified government, saying that the state is the divine idea as it exists here on Earth. And that's where we get the Hegelian dialectic, by the way, is from Hegel, the philosopher, German philosopher. The Hegelian dialectic, which is basically you declare a problem, and then the government comes along with a solution, basically a compromise between something very, very bad and what is something in between, but it's a step away from freedom, always a step toward tyranny. That's the Hegelian dialectic.
And they're glad to let you choose choice or choice B as different roads to get there, too.
Absolutely. Bovard continues. He says, Marxists assumed that vastly increasing government power was the key to liberating humanity. Glorifying command and control was the flip side of demonizing prices and profits. But all-powerful regimes quickly become ends in themselves. And then he gives a couple examples. In 1932, Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin decreed the death penalty for any theft of state property. As millions of Ukrainians were starving due to the brutal collectivization of farms, even children poaching a few ears of corn could be shot. You know, he goes on about some of the terrible, horrific problems in history that were a result of Marxism. And basically he's saying to us that we need to be aware of Marxism, of this ideology, basically that the government should control everything and own everything. That is the Marxist ideology, and it always results in serfdom, in bondage, in carnage, and it's bad news for the people of the country in which Marxism is adopted.
Well, let's be very clear, too. It's a godless doctrine as well.
Yes, because they believe that the rights come from government. All privileges and rights and so forth come from government. And if they can preach that and convince the people that that's true, then of course there can be no God. Because if your rights, if your life, and basically all of that comes from government, then it certainly cannot come from divine providence. So if God doesn't exist, then yeah, it's very godless. James ends his column with these sobering observations. Quote, I traveled behind the Iron Curtain many times in mid-1980s, to study firsthand the results of Marxist philosophy. I saw pervasive fear in the faces of emaciated people on the streets of Bucharest, Romania. I saw terror in the eyes of young Czechs when anyone touched on the subject of politics. I experienced border guards who flew into a tizzy at any piece of paper that might contain subversive ideas. And I witnessed legions of Western apologists who always insisted on giving communist regimes more time and more Western handouts to redeem themselves.
Hang tight. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson in seconds on your radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Cinco de Mayo, a delightful day, no doubt about it in many ways, but it happened to be Karl Marx's birthday. What a tragedy. And we highlight a column talking about Karl Marx and how evil his doctrine was. It's a godless doctrine that destroys liberty everywhere it's found. And Lowell's chronicling a little bit from that column to finish up. Lowell?
Right. Just suggesting the very last thing that Bovard put in this marvelous column at RonPaulInstitute.com. He said, on Marx's birthday, folks, never forget that a philosophy that begins by idealizing government will end by idealizing subjugation. Because you know, that's the end of the quote, the end of the column. But it really is true, Sam. If you imbibe the mistaken notion that government is the end-all, be-all, and has full control in a society, then obviously you're going to end up being a subject to that government. The government has the power to take everything, to give you everything, also has the power to take everything. And, of course, that's what happens in a totalitarian government. And that's why we talk about the importance of freedom here on this show so often. Liberty Roundtable, liberty survives only through the, through maintaining sacred the idea that that our rights come from God, that our life comes from God, and our life and liberty comes from Him, and we need to protect these very, very important rights and not look to government for the solutions to our problems, but to exercise our rights, our freedoms, to maintain our freedom of thought, our freedom of conscience, our freedom of property. And when it comes right down to it, Sam, I'll just end with this on about this column that comes down to, we don't hurt people, we don't take their stuff. If we would live by that, which is basically the golden rule, but put in human, more common terms, but we don't hurt people and we don't take their stuff, then we would then have a lot more liberty and freedom here in this country, and on this planet as humanity.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. The supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States, is what we advocate a return to. Trump in the news. It's good news for a change.
That's right, Sam. Just a short, brief article here by Tyler Durden, posting at RonPaulInstitute.org, just indicating that Trump has cut off funding for Syria's white helmets. Who are the white helmets? Where basically they are the Syrian Civil Defense, basically an NGO of about 3,000 members established about 5 years ago by a fellow from the UK named James Le Masseur. And a third of their funding came from the U.S. and about $32 million. And Trump has cut that off. The white helmets gained notoriety just a couple of weeks ago again because they were the ones who said that Assad had used gas on his people in a weapons attack, which precipitated the UK, France, and the US bombing Syria just a couple of weeks ago. And so I don't know if exactly why Trump says he froze funding to the group, but he certainly may be that he's feeling like he got snookered by the White Helmets into believing their report when there is absolutely no evidence that Assad used chemical weapons on his people. Again, I mean, that happened a year ago. It was reported by the White Helmets, and then the White Helmets reported again just 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so anyway, maybe Trump is feeling remorse for that and just says, hey, we're just going to cut your funding.
Well, I hope so, and I hope Donald decides to cut funding to a whole lot more groups over there. There's plenty of foreign aid, and I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. Hopefully, we'll just start cutting more and more and more funding. We pray for the Donald and hope he escalates that effort.
Right on, Sam. Totally agree. We need less war, not more of it, and funding for these war efforts is one of the reasons why it continues. If we weren't funding Saudi Arabia, if we weren't selling them planes and munitions and bombs, they probably wouldn't be committing genocide of the Yemeni people right now, even as we speak, Sam.
Amen to that. Our prayers are for a more humble foreign policy, less funding, and we defend the borders of the United States. That's where we got to start. It does start here at home, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I guess Judge Knapp, isn't this a TV guy?
Yeah, he's the Fox business guy who had a show called...
It's kind of like Judge Napolitano or Judge Jeanine or whatever. This is Judge Knapp. His show is called again?
That is Andrew Napolitano. They call him Judge Knapp for sure, but that's Judge Andrew Napolitano.
Oh, all right. Now, Andrew Napolitano. All right, I haven't really referred to the Judge Knapp thing, but okay. Andrew Napolitano in the news, folks.
Well, that's right. He had a great interview with Thomas Massie, who is a U.S. representative from Kentucky. They were talking about... how in the world did Trump get the authorization to bomb Syria? And it's a great little clip. You can pick up this clip, RonPaulLibertyReport.com, yourself and listen to it in its entirety. I just wanted to highlight just one thing from it, and that is that, a judge started out, he asked Thomas Massie where the president got the authority, and Massie reported this surprisingly. Massie said, well, that was the question that he asked of Secretary of State and of General Mattis, the Director of National Intelligence, who replied that they rely entirely on Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution that says the president is the commander-in-chief, right? I mean, that's surprising. The reason it's surprising is because he expected them to say, well, we rely on the authorization of use of military force, the AUMF. The one passed in 2001, you know, in response to the 9/11 tragedy. But no, they rely on Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, which says the president is the commander-in-chief.
But they take it completely out of context and ignore other relevant passages in the supreme law of the land, sir.
Exactly right. And that's the point we need to make here. If people argue that, you know, the president can bomb some nation out there simply because he's the commander, well, don't believe it, because that is not the whole story. We need to insist, we the people need to insist to our public servants that we not go to war, that we get back, we not fund war, and that we pull our troops home, just bring them home. And, you know, it's great to have a powerful defensive force, but we have gone way beyond a line of defense for this country. Instead, we are aggressing against sovereign nations. We've bombed Syria. We're like in 7 or 8 countries aggressing against these sovereign countries, and it is not constitutionally sound that we do this, and it's promoting war, not peace. It's resulting in the destruction and maiming of thousands of civilians throughout the Middle East. Is simply not right. Sam.
And Judge Napolitano highlights some of the issues about what needs to happen.
Well, he does, Sam. We need to, you know, if the president wants to use military force, then he needs to go to Congress and get a declaration of war. And if there's imminent threat to the United States, then he can use his defensive military might to stop that attack. But that's certainly not what we're doing in Syria. And even the Secretary of Defense was heard to say just hours before the attack on Syria that he was not satisfied that Assad did what the president accused him of doing. And so it's just not the right approach, Sam, to be taking.
But in this interview, they both said, hey, they think Congress is ignorant enough where if the president had gone to Congress would have just approved it anyway, right?
Yeah, but Thomas Massey said, yeah, we probably would have given him the power to do it, but he never asked, and that's wrong. We really need folks, we need public servants who will reject war, except in the very narrow cases, you know, when we need to defend ourselves. But peace and liberty, prosperity, those are what we should be working for, not for war.
Well, it's hard to get the truth, and there's fake news everywhere. In fact, there's a column asking why propaganda has to be so pervasive, Lowell.
This is a great column authored by Chris Rossini, found at RonPaulLibertyReport.com. I guess I would have called the article Freedom is Like Thinking Outside the Box, but nonetheless, he says why propaganda has to be so persuasive. He lifts all of the flood of propaganda in which we are engulfed every day. Compulsory government schooling, accredited college professors, government licensed professionals, government worshiping entertainment industry, the empire worshiping defense industry, and so forth. And why must this propaganda be so persuasive? Well, he then answers this question. Chris says, we're all born free. We're free to think what we want, whenever we want, however we want. In fact, we're not only born with this freedom, it remains with us our entire lives. And so he challenges the reader to stop thinking. This is kind of funny. He says, you can't do it. He says, don't think? Yeah, try that. We just think all the time, even when we're sleeping. So not only are we free to think whatever we want, we do so every moment of our lives. He talks about those who want to control the power mongers among us, the power seekers. They use propaganda because they don't want us to think independently, because that ruins their story. Basically, they don't want us to be independent because they want to glut themselves on our work, the fruits of our labor, right? They want to control others' thoughts. They want to boss people around, control what they do, what they think, and what they say. And they basically want to control our lives, and especially they want control of the fruits of our labors. And so it's a threat to them when independent thinkers come along, and that's why they use propaganda, TV, radio, media, and so forth. They don't want you to be thinking outside the box. And so they don't want you to come along and think, well, okay, maybe I don't support the war anymore. Maybe you come along and say, I don't believe in climate change anymore. That really is a scam. Maybe you come along and say, I don't think we should hurt people and take their stuff. Well, you know, that they don't want you to be thinking that because then they lose power.
Yeah, I don't believe in the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto government school either, sir.
No. So freedom is dangerous stuff for the power seekers. And so that's why there's constantly propaganda around us. They don't want people to think for themselves. And so the power seekers are perfectly fine with some people slipping through the cracks. If there's one or two, then that's fine. But they don't want a whole generation to come along and start thinking like Sam and Kurt and Lowell, because then they become too many of them and they're too hard to control. And so, basically, it's a great column. I love it. It's an upbeat, encouraging article asking the questions, are you courageous enough to embrace freedom? Can you think beyond the barriers? Can you think outside the lines, basically? Are you wise enough to allow others to enjoy this same gift without seeking to mold them to your will? Well, if so, then you are one of the few who truly understand and enjoy the gift of freedom, Sam.
Amen to that. You got to love it. Lowell Nelson, thank you so much. Informative, educational, entertaining from time to time. We appreciate you, sir.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Sometimes the topics are a little too serious for entertainment. Nevertheless, we bring it all to you, ladies and gentlemen, uncensored, available now, point you to more information. You figure it out and make up your own mind. If you agree with us, great. If you disagree, then let's disagree agreeably, shall we? Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We'd love your donations to the Widow's Mite Radio Network. We could use every penny we can get to grow our presence in the media. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare this nation shall endure.